Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Excellent. Let me get situated here. For those of you who may not know me, I am not Aaron McCarter. He is younger, and outside of my wife, the consensus is he's more handsome than I am. But my name is Chris Carpenter. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Particularly, the title they give me is discipleship pastor. I kind of wear a lot of hats. I meet with a lot of the men here at the church. And so, guys, if we've never met, if we've never gotten together for a cup of coffee or a lunch or anything like that, come find me after the service today. I would love to grab lunch or a cup of coffee with you sometime. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're willing and able for the reading of today's scripture. Then we're going to say our church prayer together. And then I have actually a couple of questions to pose to us all this morning to get us started and to get us thinking. Our scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 12, and it's the first two verses. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's say our prayer together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are King. Give us wisdom, courage, and kindness that we might bear your image well. Unify us in heart, soul, and purpose that the world might know your love. Make us your hands, generous and compassionate. Make us your feet, valiant and steady. In service to you and all you've created, give us love greater than fear. Onward for your kingdom, we're declaring your worth, finding our worth in you, and joining you in the renewal of all things. Amen, amen. You may have a seat. I don't want to waste any time this morning, so we're just going to jump right on in. I actually have a question to pose and have you all ponder it first today, and it's this. What is one area of your life that you are trying to grow in, or that you're trying to get better at, or there's something in your life that you're trying to solve? Let me repeat that. What is one area of your life that you're trying to grow in, trying to get better at, or trying to solve? Maybe another way to put it is, what is one way you want to see God help you grow? So we're talking the context of spiritual growth here. Couple of examples, maybe while you're thinking, maybe you want to take in that scripture that says that we are to be slow to anger. That would be a good one. I want to be slow to anger. That's been a prayer of mine for years now. Sometimes not very good at that one. So I want to improve there. And God help me with that. Maybe it's we gossip way, way too much and we just need to keep our mouths shut. And so we go to God and say, "Lord, in those moments, shut me up. Shut me up." Maybe we have lust issues that we're just asking God to simply get rid of because nothing good ever comes from that. So God, rid us of that sinful tendency. Maybe it's a healing thing and we want to be healed of some ailment or long-term injury. And so we go to the Lord, "God, heal us from what we're dealing with." It could be really a plethora of things. But when we think of where we are now, compared to where we want to be, we see in between this area of growth or this change that obviously needs to take place. Maybe it's a lot of growth and a lot of change that needs to take place. So do you have it? Do you have the one thing? Or if you're like me, maybe you have 10 things that kind of came to your head and to your heart. It probably didn't take most of us too long to figure it out. Those of you who are having a hard time figuring something out, may I suggest humbleness or pride for that area of growth. We all seem to deal with those things from time to time. Okay, so you got it, right? Follow-up question. Here we go. Would you be okay if it took a long time, maybe even the rest of your life, for God to help get you where you want to be with that? In other words, would you be okay if your growth was slow over a considerable period of time? Well, what's a considerable period of time? A year? 5 years? 20 years? Maybe even your whole life. How would you feel about that? So just a couple of questions to get us thinking this morning. Now, today is going to be what some of us pastors like to call a one-off type of sermon, meaning there's no series that goes along with it. We tend to do series here of teaching on Sunday mornings, but this is just going to be a sermon that stands by itself. Every once in a while, Aaron gives me the opportunity to speak a sermon like this, and many times these sermons come from scriptures that are just coming to my head and to my heart again and again and again. Important scriptures and subject matter that I feel people that I'm meeting with, having conversations with, that they're dealing with quite often. It's something that I see that multiple people have in common, and hence is the case this morning. And what I want to speak to you about is something I hear so many of you saying. And something this Hebrews 12 teaches us is the idea that spiritual growth can, sometimes, actually most of the time, truly be an endurance race. Now, you're going to hear me say a couple of times this morning that God can do His thing in His time. So change or growth can happen in our lives instantaneously. Things like that have happened in my own life. When I came to Christ at age 21, I was a heavy, drinking, partying college student every weekend, even not on weekends, even during the week. When I came to Christ at 21, that desire just went away, just disappeared, and there was no gradual change over time. In a moment, God just took it and it was gone. And there hasn't been a drunken night or a let loose type of evening in 31 years. Praise be to God. But in other areas of my life, much of my growth, and in the church we like to use this big churchy term called sanctification, much of my growth has been long, drawn out. It's been a process. In fact, it's been a lifelong process since my first day walking with Christ. And with many of you that I've met with, this has been your experience. You've longed to see growth take place in a certain area of your life. In fact, you've prayed and prayed and prayed for God to do His thing, and you want it lickety-split, bingo, bango, it's done. That's what you want. But instead, what you got was this slow, methodical, hard, time-consuming, drawn out, when are we going to get there, Father? When are you going to act God type of thing? And I think many of us have something in common when it comes to the slow, gradual growth of spiritual life. It drives us absolutely crazy. It really does. When I asked you before if you'd be okay with slow growth over a long period of time, maybe in your mind you knew what the obvious answer would be. Of course, got no problems with that, no issues at all. But if we're really honest, we want change, we want growth, and we want it now. We don't want to wait around. And by the way, that's okay to want change and growth that God can bring us instantaneously. There is nothing wrong with that. But it may not happen that way. And when it's not, it can be frustrating. If I had a dime for every person that has told me the story about taking two steps forward and one step back in their spiritual growth, I'd be rich. I wouldn't be rich, but I'd be much better off than I am. All right? And I tend to tell them the same thing. It's kind of the math teacher that comes out of me. Two steps forward and one step back. Well, that's still a step forward, right? Two minus one, still one. All right? But, and I don't want to make light of taking a step back. We don't want that to happen in our lives. But what seems to be the case for many people is that that one step back seems to erase all the steps forward that God has brought us on instantly in our minds. And we have to start all over again. And I think it's because we live in a world today of expected instant gratification. It's kind of become the culture that we live in, not only live in, but we've accepted and now expect for that to be our way of thinking, our way of life as well, including our spiritual lives. You have instant expected gratification, like 16-year-olds get their license at 16, first day, 16 years old. On day two, what do they want? They want a car instantly. I'll try not to look at my daughter when I say that, all right? College graduates may expect that six-figure salary coming right out of school. I mean, they got the piece of paper, and they really put it in a nice little frame. And so let's get the six-figure salary from the get-go. I'm a Yankees fan. Don't boo. Those of you who boo need to work on your jealousy growth. That's what it is. But I don't want Aaron Judge, who is the best hitter in baseball, to get a single when he comes up to the plate. I want a home run every time. That's just instant gratification. Google Maps gives us three or four options to drive from point A to point B, right? What's the first one always? The fastest route. Does anybody go beyond that? Do you look at the other options? I don't. I want the fastest way to point B that I can possibly get. And when it comes to the Christian life and being more like Jesus, we know in our heads that we'll never obtain that Jesus perfection in this life, but wouldn't it be nice if we like came out of the baptismal like 75 or 80% down the road? That would be pretty cool. Some sort of head start would be nice. Expected instant gratification, and when it doesn't take place, we might start asking questions of God, questions of fairness, like, Lord, Scripture shows Jesus healing the sick. I'm sick. I've been praying. I even filled out the prayer card, stuck it in the offering box. Where's my healing? Or we get complex at even the little things that get difficult. Like we know the importance of opening God's Word each and every day and reading the Scriptures. So why is it such a struggle to even do that? To open and read His great Word. And unfortunately, what happens for many, and the things that I've heard from quite a few, is when God doesn't work in instantaneous mode, we get to the point where we might even consider quitting on God. Some even do, and have. We quit trusting Him, we quit looking to Him, we quit praying to Him, we quit depending on Him for guidance and support and direction. We even choose to fall out of relationship with the church, because if God isn't going to help me, why would I want anything to do with His church? These are conversations that I've had with many, many people over the course of years. So my message for us is simple and easy. I tend to like to make my sermons not complex. A lot of duh statements, as you've probably heard me say over the last years. But much of our spiritual growth is going to be like running an endurance race, like running a marathon, maybe even longer. Our spiritual growth, our sanctification, is a lifelong, seemingly slow endurance race. And we need to come to that understanding and see that that is a part of God's sanctifying work in our lives. Now, I'm going to get to the scripture here in a second, but those of you who know me, you might know that there are some around here who view me as quite strange. And the reason for that is that I like to run. I like to run a lot. If you go to the groups table out in the lobby, you will see that one of our groups is an affinity group for people who want to join a run group, crazies like me. And we have a pretty awesome group of folks that come out on Monday nights over at Pearson Springs Park. Small plug. Come out and join us. You don't have to have any experience, or you can be the most advanced runners. We got it along the gauntlet. I am crazy because I especially like longer runs. 2 to 3 miles, they're nice, but if I'm going to sweat, I want to get my time in. I want to get my money's worth. So I kind of like the 6 to 8 mile, maybe even longer type of runs. My daughter's cross-country team is about to run the Cades Cove Loop in a couple of weeks up there. That's 11 miles. That's the challenge I love. I like that kind of stuff. I love the longer runs more because along the way, when the run gets difficult and the legs get tired, I'm reminded it's those times that I have to really lean in to my relationship with Jesus all the more to keep me going forward, to keep me moving on, and to get to the end. And this needs to be the same attitude towards the struggles and towards difficulties that we might have in our lives. When they pop up, when they come from seemingly nowhere, or when they're ongoing, we need to lean in to our relationship with Him and not retreat and not back off. So for the rest of the time this morning, we're going to look at this scripture from Hebrews 12 more closely, a few other scriptures along the way. Then I'll give us some points to ponder. Maybe there'll be a nugget or two for you to grab on, take home this morning. And then we're going to let the Holy Spirit minister to us today. So Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." As I just said, my daughter runs for Alcoa's cross country and track teams, and especially in the cross country season before the race, you got all the parents, all the families are there, friends that are coming out to watch Alcoa run. And we do this thing as parents where we decide where along the 3 mile course of the race each parent is going to stand. And our goal is to not have a large section of the course not have somebody cheering for Alcoa along the way. And so the whole team, not just your own kid, but the whole team is hearing those cheers from family and friends along the way, all the way to the finish line. As for ourselves who are running the spiritual race of the Christian life, we have witnesses cheering for us as well. The witnesses, those heroes that the author of Hebrews has mentioned in previous chapters of this book, people like Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the Israelites that crossed over on dry land, the Israelites that saw the walls of Jericho fall, people like Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David, they're all cheering us on in this run, in this race of life, encouraging us along the way to keep following the Lord, keep being led by God. This is who we are to be as the church for one another, encouragers to persevere, encouragers to stay the course and to not quit. We do that for one another through sharing God's word with each other, through serving one another, and simple words of encouragement. I'm not a very highly technological type of person. They'll definitely tell you that around here. Well, one thing I like about this is the 10-second text message of encouraging words that you can send to somebody. And it actually gets addicting because you might have one person that you're sending that encouragement to, and then you think of another person, or God gives you the name of another person that you need to text and send an encouraging word to, and before you know it, it's 20. It's pretty awesome. And then they start sending them back to you, those encouraging words, and just builds and builds and builds. And the reason that's great is because we're running this race together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 1 tells us then to lay aside the heavy weights this world tends to lay on our shoulders, and the weight of sin, that clings so closely. And what this tells me is of the preparation that we have to do in order to run the race. God's going to do his thing. We have a part to play in the prep as well, like a runner who prepares for a race by stretching themselves out, knowing the course that they're going to run, diet and water intake before, during, and after the race. As God is leading us and as God is growing us and showing the way, our preparation is to stand firm against the temptation and the struggles that this world will put into our path and say no to sin and say no to our enemy. And our enemy is going to do all that he can to make this run, to make this race as difficult as possible. The Christian life in and of itself already brings us a hard race to run. Think if you have an enemy that's trying to maybe change the course on you at the last minute. Or instead of giving you pure water to drink, he's handing you a cup of poison instead because he wants to take you out. We have an enemy in the world where it might seem like they're on the side of the course cheering for you at first. But if you listen more intently, listen more carefully, the reality is they're saying, you're not going to make it. Some are even throwing stones at you to trip you up and take you out. The encouragement here in verse 1 is to shed those weights. Receive then the forgiveness, the grace our Lord Jesus died to give us. Then use those truths as strength, allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us strong, to move us forward, to keep us running this race of following God and being molded more and more into the image of Jesus. The path has been set before us. It has its twists and turns. And sometimes we can see what lies ahead, and sometimes we may not know what lies around the next turn, but whether it's success or setback, we are to keep running. We don't let failures and setbacks draw us to a standstill or have us retreat. Why? Because we live in the reality that this race is not a temporary sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's an endurance race that lasts all of life. I tell new runners, especially marathoners that I meet with, when they get tired, just keep moving forward. Even if you have to walk, even if you have to crawl, keep moving forward. Don't stand still. Look ahead. Fix your eyes on your Lord. Look to Jesus. And this is what verse 2 tells us to do. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. One of our runners at our Monday night group is Bill Richmond. Bill has become a good friend over the last couple of years, and I asked Bill if he wouldn't mind me bragging about him a little bit and telling his age, and he said no, so I appreciate that. Bill is 70 years old, and boy can this man, there he is, and boy can this man run. In fact, he won his age group at the Covenant Marathon in Knoxville earlier this year. I think that deserves an applause. Yeah, that's an incredible thing. Bill, at age 70, is faster than me. He is in better shape than me. I long to be in the shape that this man is in. I mean, you can look over there and just see the muscles. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So when we run on Monday nights, one of my goals is to keep Bill in my sight, all right? We call him, what we say in the running world, as a rabbit, and he is my rabbit. I'm chasing Bill. I'm probably not going to catch him, but I'm going to try to keep him in my sight. And if I do for the whole run, then I'm having a good run because I know he's going to have a fast run. So if I can keep him in my sight, I'm doing well. Well, my friends, in a way, Jesus is our rabbit for our spiritual life. He's who we're following. He knows the right path. He knows all the turns. He knows all the potholes in the road, the dangers that lurk, and he knows where the finish line is. And he wants to take us all the way there. You guys had enough running analogies for one morning? Yeah, I think so. All right, you get the point. Here, he's there all along the way. He's the founder and perfecter of our faith, meaning that his atoning work, his perfection, leads to the perfection of those that follow him. When will that perfection come? End of the race. At the end of the race, what is the prize? Eternal life with him. Hebrews author then tells us, talking about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think about enduring the cross that Jesus did, all the suffering, all the torture. Now, why would Jesus go through what he did? Because he knew what was to come through his sacrifice. He knew the end game. He knew the joy that would then come through his resurrection and through the life that he offers all of us. And that then leads to us. Why do we persevere through the struggles and what can feel like this long, difficult journey of the Christian life? Because we believe in God's promises. We believe what the scripture says and what the scripture says awaits for us at the end of the race. And so it's Jesus and it's his sacrifice where we find the strength to keep going. Where we say to ourselves, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. We don't rely on our own strength and ways to get us through. Jesus despised the shame if we think of what Jesus endured even before he got to the cross. Along the route, he was basically laid naked before everyone, bleeding profusely from everywhere, crown of thorns on his head. The whole scene was meant to somehow bring him shame that led ultimately to his death, and he endured it all because that shame, 3 days later, became his glory. And that's the strength that the life of Jesus has to offer us as well. And so, yeah, my friends, there's a reality to the difficulty of the Christian life, but what comes with it is that the truth that God can bring us through anything to get us to the end. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing takes too much time to where we should ever come to a place in our lives where we say, I'm done. I'm done with God. I quit on him. I don't want to do this anymore. And just as Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, which is his just reward, our reward is waiting for us in the end as well. So keep running the race. Don't let the frustrations of slow growth over a long period of time, this whole sanctification thing, deter you from seeing where God is trying to get us all in the end. Amen. Okay, so a few points to express, hopefully a nugget or two, then the Holy Spirit's going to take over. First, pride goeth before the fall. Pride goeth before the fall. We try to run this race under our own strength, thinking that our power is enough, or that we've figured out the strategy for this race on our own, or, God forbid, that we try to take a shortcut along the way to get there. We will fall short. We will fall short. Peter was a pretty important character in the life of Jesus and the life of the church after. If you remember Peter's words in Matthew 26, he says, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Now that sounds really good. That sounds like the words you should be saying. But Jesus knew where Peter's statement was coming from, in that in a way it was a prideful boast of himself and his own strength. And so what does Jesus say? Gives him the whole, truly, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Jesus puts Peter's pride squarely on the table, but he doesn't leave it there. He comes back, helps Peter to grow, shows him forgiveness and grace. And Peter grows into one of the early leaders of the church and someone that so many people looked up to. So like Peter, in the same way, we can't let our pride take the place of God's Spirit in our spiritual growth process. Second, we need to shift our mindset from the fast to the slow. Hard to do that in a fast-paced world, but again and again, when you look at Scripture, it speaks of the slow growth of maturity. Scriptures like Luke 8:15 that says, as for that in the good soil, it's speaking of the seeds that land in the good, rich soil. They are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit, here's the phrase, with patience. If you see that phrase, with patience, it's probably talking about a process. It's going to take some time. Ephesians 4 speaks of us maturing from children to manhood. There's a growth process that needs to take place there. It takes time. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's transformation taking place over time. And what this means for us is we're coming to this place of understanding where we say to ourselves, okay, it seems really slow and it seems really methodical, but it's still good. It's still good growth, and it doesn't all have to happen instantaneously. Third point, and it's going to seem like I'm saying a little bit of opposite here, but hang with me. Although growth and change can be a lifelong process and is most of the time, we do need to remember that all progress and not all progress and growth is slow. I gave you the example of myself at 21 in the beginning. Ephesians 3 tells us, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. And so, yeah, God can do his thing immediately, instantaneously. He can grow us, change us in places. So it seems like there's this both thing going on. We like to talk about the both and here at Vineyard a lot, and there's reason for that. I think it's because that's where you find Jesus, is in the both and. Well, in the both and here, there are times when God does do his instantaneous thing. And there are times when it's a long process of growth. So how do we wrestle with that? And what do we do in those moments? How do we handle it? May I suggest it's going to the Lord in hope and prayer for him to do his great work in us. And you can do that hoping that it happens in the moment. Like I said before, there's nothing wrong with that. Snap of the finger, make it be so, God. But if the growth tends to be slow over the course of our lives, even our whole lives, still, praise be to God. Whatever the case, we need to be determined that our focus and our outlook on God will never waver. And our sights are always set on him. Our focus is always on his ways. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 3 is a reminder of who does the growing, right? He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. We need to remember that's what he's doing. Even when it seems like nothing's happening, even when it seems like prayer just doesn't seem to be answered, we need to realize he's still at work. He's doing his thing. We just may not see it. We may not feel it in the moment, but he's still there. So I want to invite the worship team back up at this time. And as they're coming up, I just want to encourage you, especially if you've felt flustered, frustrated along the way because, you know, I don't feel God doing his thing. I've come to him again and again and again, and I just don't see it. I don't feel it. I feel like I should be further along this sanctification path than I actually am. Or maybe there's temptations that happen in your life again and again, and maybe you take that step back and fall every once in a while, I want to encourage you, the answer isn't that God is harming you, that God is against you. The answer is definitely not to give up on Him. The answer is to keep turning to Him. Scripture shows us that when we take that step back at times in our lives, and it's going to happen, we have a place for confession. We have a place for repentance. And God's forgiveness and His grace is always there. The answer in those times is not to retreat, not to walk away from this incredible relationship that we have from Him, but it's to pour into it all the more. The answer is to turn to God again and again and again, all the way again to the end. And I believe with our perseverance, we will all one day stand before the Lord and hear something to the fact of, well done, good and faithful one. I want to say this again as well. Folks, pray without ceasing. Pray with the hope and the expectancy that God can change you and grow you in the moment. Here at Vineyard, we like to start prayers with, come Holy Spirit. And what we're doing when we say those words is we are asking His Spirit to come in the moment, right at this time, to speak to us, to mold our lives, to move us, to cleanse us, to change and grow us. And we're going to do that this morning. We're about to do it. As soon as I shut up, we're about to do it. And for some of you, you're not going to feel it. For some of you, you're going to walk away feeling like it didn't happen today. Here's my encouragement to you. Didn't happen today? Pray it again tomorrow. Doesn't happen tomorrow? Pray it again on Tuesday. And then again on Wednesday and Thursday and every single day. Keep going to Him, praying to Him with expectation, praying to Him knowing He's there for you, praying to Him know that He loves you so immensely. And it'll never go away. It'll never go away. So you ready? Here we go. We pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Do your work in us. Minister to us. Grow and change us more into your image, Lord. For you died and saved us. You came back to life so that you could lead us to the end of this race. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you.
continue to just respond to how the Lord may be moving, let me invite you to stand as you're able. We're just going to take a few minutes to just seek the Lord together before we close the service. Let me invite the prayer team, if you would, come on and come forward. We're going to have an opportunity to receive prayer here. So as Chris was sharing about the difficulty when you're running and you're struggling, he said, the advice that runners give to one another is just don't stop. Even if you just have to walk, even if you're just going to crawl, just don't stop. And I wonder if when he said that, there may be people in the room who would go, it's good advice, I get it. I stopped. Like I'm stopped. I'm stuck, not moving forward. If so, I just want to encourage you, we're going to respond now to the Lord and just ask Him to begin to help dislodge us from the ways in which we may be stuck. What I thought about was a video game my kids used to play, and it was this silly sort of off-road game, and when the car got stuck, it was just stuck, and all you could do is sit there and rev the gas until you ran out of gas and the game was over. There was like no getting out once you got stuck. And that's the picture that came to my mind, which that there are people who just feel like, unless somebody comes and helps pull me out of this, I'm just stuck. And so if that's the case, I would encourage you to take a moment and be encouraged that the power of the Holy Spirit can help move us forward, that we can overcome that inertia. Yeah.
Yeah, we just believe that God's going to minister to a lot of people this morning. I feel like maybe for someone, they feel like maybe they were running a race and felt like maybe they got like shoved out of the way, like sort of they got sidelined by something or someone or an illness or something they're grieving or something. And I just feel like the Lord wants to minister to you this morning and minister to you and kind of like bandage you back up and get you back on the course. So if that's you, I would love to pray for you.
As well, I've been feeling all week long that in preparation for this, that there are those in need of healing here, whether that's physical healing or maybe even some emotional healing because of the hurt that maybe you felt in your life at some time, but also this ongoing physical hardship that you've gone through. And, it literally, because it's physical, it stopped you in your tracks. And so we would like to pray for you as well. And so it doesn't have to be a grand thing. It could be the smallest of injuries. It could be whatever you're feeling in the moment. But we would like to pray for you as well with that.
So I know this is a little bit different. We're going to close the service in just a moment. But what we want to encourage you to do is go ahead and begin to respond now. Whether that's seeking the Lord right where you're at. Maybe it's grabbing the hand of the person next to you and asking them to pray with you. But then certainly if anything we've said so far applies to you on any level, if you're feeling like you're stuck and you need help getting dislodged, if there's a need for physical healing, like Chris, I've been thinking about that all week. I think the Lord is eager to heal, to meet us in our brokenness, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual. We just want to encourage you. We're going to sing just a little bit here. And while we do that, I just want to encourage you to come on forward now. And then after we're done with that, we'll close the service. But let's just go ahead and begin to respond, whether that's coming forward for prayer, praying with someone right there with you. Let's just take a moment and respond to the Lord as we sing.